Good morning. You know, I usually carry something in this pouch. I find them pretty needful. Did I leave them back there, Aaron? So I thought if I can't find them, I may have to preach by memory today. All right. Thank you. Is that a sign of aging or a sign of maturity or Well, I'm very thankful to be here today to share this time together. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And we'll break in verse 38. Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Let's just pause there for a moment. Here is Jesus with his disciples, and they come into the village. And some of you all just come back from Africa. You can sort of picture this maybe a little better than we can today in our culture. But you enter into this village, and you know, a group of 12, 13, Jesus, 12 disciples, and Jesus, and maybe some more around him, and a woman comes to meet them and receives them into her house. Her name was Martha, and she welcomed them, received them into her house. I believe she was glad to see Jesus. And when she saw the group of men, her mind began to go down the direction of any person given to hospitality and wanting to bless her guests. She thought about all the food that these men can put away, and she started getting in that mode of preparing. Look, as we read on, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, she was cumbered about much serving. I mean, she was taken up and cumbered with serving. I got to get that meat cooked and tender and get that bread baked and prepared, and I want to fix a good meal for Jesus and his disciples. Maybe the kitchen was warm, stoking the fire extra warm, put a few more potatoes in there, mentally calculating how much food this is going to take, and want to make sure it reaches Isn't that one of the things we worry about sometimes? Will we have enough of food? You know, and she's engaged. So much so that her heart is just taken up and she's cumbered about with much serving and preparation, and she realizes, you know, we could get things done faster if my sister would help me. Mary, where are you? She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet. Here is Mary, seemingly oblivious to all the preparation that needs to take place to feed these men. And she's sitting with the men at Jesus' feet. So Martha says, well, I'll get this taken care of. Jesus surely will understand my predicament and my dilemma, so I'll talk to Jesus about it. And she goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Don't you care? You ever feel like that? You know, it's like, come on, can't you see? And don't you care? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, she helps Jesus out a little. Jesus, tell her to help me. Maybe if you tell her, she'll help. Jesus, he answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know, when he says her name twice like that, you know, I think it was tenderly. It wasn't accusing. It wasn't, you know, pointing the finger at her, but he was just like, Martha. Oh, Martha. Spoken with deep care, because he does care. Martha, you're careful and you've taken it even to the next level. You're troubled. This has become a big issue to you. I mean, it's troubling you and it's agitating you and you're getting worked up in the kitchen and you're wondering, why doesn't my sister come and help me? Martha, Martha, you're careful, you're troubled about all these details of getting the meal just fixed just right and many things. Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. How was your week? How was your last month? How was your last year? How was your last 10 years? You know, sometimes it's good for us to sort of stop and evaluate. How am I doing? One thing is needful. One thing is absolutely essential. This one thing, like Job said, more necessary than my necessary food. one thing is needful, to choose. One thing is needful to make priority. One thing is needful to be put first. One thing is needful to pursue and to put aside other encumbrances, things that would trouble us, things that would hinder us. One thing is needful to pursue. And to break out of maybe even expected or normal status quo. I heard a testimony of a man who's gone to be with the Lord now, but he so set his heart to seek the Lord that he started the evening before. And he would politely excuse himself even when there were guests visiting. Because he said, I have a very important engagement tomorrow morning to sit at Jesus' feet. One thing is needful. It's that good part which no man can take away. No man can take it away. But this man can take it away through neglect, through being overcharged, overburdened with other things. One thing is needful. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. John 17. Jesus in His prayer. In John 17, verse 3. Says these words. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee. And how do we get to know someone? Oh, we spend time with them. Right? We get to know them because we spend time together. To communicate and to fellowship and to share together. One thing is needful. That they might know Thee, Jesus said in His prayer, that they might know Thee. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians 3. In Philippians chapter 3, and verse 7. We'll break in here in verse 7 of the testimony of a very religious man who found Christ. And this is his testimony. What things were gained to me, I count at loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and tell you now, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. One thing is needful. The testimony of Paul is, the things that were gained to me, I count it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Let's stand together to pray. Father, we come to You now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, asking that You would grant us revelation and insight and understanding into Your Word. Father, we ask that You would break the bread of life to us, grant us that living waters that feeds our soul, feeds our spiritual man. And Lord, today we ask in the name of Jesus that Your Holy Spirit would speak life into our hearts as we look into the Word of God. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus You would grant us ears to hear. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to my brothers and sisters. And Father, do refresh us and quicken and revive us with Your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we know these scriptures so well. that one of the things that can tend to happen to us, you know, we just sort of, oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, oh yes, I know what's coming next. You know, and we just sort of, oh okay, yeah. And it can just sort of like, just sort of go through our minds or over the top of our heads or just sort of, and we can just sort of half hear it, but not really hear it. You know, familiarity can breed that we just sort of handle it as common. You know, it just sort of becomes common. It's just sort of, oh, okay, yeah, I heard that before. Okay, yeah, yeah. I wonder what Aaron's going to preach out of this now. You know, I mean, Oh, yeah, Mary, Martha, oh, yeah. I heard that many times. I could, you know. You know, here's a man who met Jesus in a very dramatic way. Saul. On the road to Damascus with letters in possession to continue his wrath against Christ and his people and his church. And he was apprehended of Christ. He was struck down a great light. And he had an encounter with Christ. And his life was transformed and changed. But here he is, how many years later, bearing his heart to God, oh, that I may know Christ. That I may have that intimate knowledge and relationship with Christ. Religious exercise isn't good enough. In fact, all those religious credentials of the law that I learned at sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, all those things, I count them loss. In fact, I count them as dung. I count them as worthless, as useless, rubbish. That I might win Christ. What do you mean, Paul? You know Christ. You met him on the road to Damascus. I mean, if I had a testimony like that, I'd ride on that one, wouldn't I, for a long time. You think you have a testimony? I was riding down the road and the bright light appeared unto me and struck me down and, you know, but you know why he said those things that are behind? Those things that are past? I'm forgetting. And you know, that can be both positive and good things of experiences with God. High places with God, deep places with God. Or there can be things that were negative, you know. He had to forget those too. I used to be a persecutor. Had to forget that too. But he said, you know, because of that also, grace was greater upon me because of that as well. And that's how it is for us today. No matter what our past, no matter how evil, how wicked, how bad, or how religiously good, we've got to forget it and count it as loss and dung so that we can win Christ today. How's my relationship with Christ today? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, it's the one thing that's needful. Does my life declare that I'm passionate to know Jesus? Does my work schedule and the hours that I put in every week declare that I'm passionate to push aside other things that I might know Jesus? Does my reading habits and the books that I read declare that I'm counting all things loss so that I might win Jesus? Does my social media declare that I am passionate to know Jesus? Do my viewing habits, whatever they be, declare that I count Christ Jesus worthy to win above seeing that little diddly to try to make me laugh? And it's hilarious and funny. It's amusing and it's entertaining. Does my entertainment show that I have a passion to win Christ, to know Christ? Do my sleeping habits show that I'm passionate for Jesus? And I want to know Him. I must know Him. Brother, sister, this is a passion of my heart. Paul said, I fear that some of you may be beguiled by the serpent, the devil, and you're led away from the simplicity of Christ, and you're caught away and led into other things. My dear friends this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know Him. And He needs to know us. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to come to Charity Christian Fellowship. It's not enough to be a member at Charity Christian Fellowship. You cannot sit back and say, well, now I'm in. It's not enough. I hope you're in with Jesus Christ, with a passionate love that constrains you and motivates you. I fear, if that's allowed to have as a pastor of fear, that some of you may not make it to heaven. Some of you are being led aside by other things and drawn away. And I don't warn you of the one thing that's needful. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you on the way of life? Are you on the path of life? Have you entered in by that straight gate, which is to know Jesus Christ? This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. To have your name on the membership roll at the church is not eternal life. Now I care, and God cares, about being modestly clothed and being separate from sinners. Don't be deceived. Adulterers and fornicators and lovers of the world and lovers of pleasures, they're not going to enter the kingdom. Don't be deceived. The wicked shall not enter in. Those who don't do the will of God, those who don't obey God, those who just have a cheap grace and say, I entered in at the door, now I'm saved, and I can live however I want. No, my question, dear brother, sister, are you on the narrow way that leads to life? It's not just the gate, it's not just the door, but it's that, are you on the highway of holiness? The highway of holiness, the unclean shall not walk their own. But those whose robes are washed and cleansed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, there's hope for us sinners. There's hope for us lost souls. There's hope for those that are sick. There's hope for those that are in bondage and in sin. There's hope in Jesus Christ to be washed and to be cleansed. But let us not deceive ourselves. God is not mocked. What does my life show that I'm passionate about? I count all things loss. Sorry, I thought there was a Kleenex box up here. For the excellency the excellency of Christ. Oh, I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Thank you, brother. And be found in Him. Oh, brother, sister, when the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds, to be found in Him. You know, I want nothing else. There's nothing else worthwhile. There's nothing else worth it. There's nothing else worth living for. But then to be found in Jesus, to know Him. And we live in such a society of drive-through food, fast. Everything's quick. Everything's fast right now. Brother, sister, 1 minute devotional, 1 minute with God. Well, I don't know if that's going to cut it. I'm sorry. I just don't believe so. When Jesus said, you need to press in, you need to strive to enter in. Because He goes on to say, many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many are going to seek and they're going to say, but Lord, let us in. I went to Charity Christian Fellowship. I was baptized there. Let me in. How horrible. How terrifying. I can't put it in words any more than Jesus did. How terrifying to hear. Depart from me, ye cursed. Ye cursed. Don't only depart from me, but depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, how terror-gripping that would have to be for any soul to hear those words. I don't know you. Depart from me. You know what? I think that's why Paul, after years of ministry, was saying, I don't sit back and relax, not for a moment. Because I could preach to others, and I could exhort others, and I could myself be a castaway in the end. If I don't pursue and press into Jesus Christ with all my heart, steadfast unto the end, and I don't endure faithfully unto the end. Oh, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. And be found in Him. What is keeping you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? Let's just get real practical here this morning. How is my time sitting at the feet of Jesus? How is it? Is there something that I need to push aside and count but dung that I may win Christ? Oh, Martha, Martha. You're troubled. You're cumbered about much serving, about many things. But one thing is needful. I'll just read a few verses. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. Just listen to the words of the Scriptures. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. A sower went out to sow in his field. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it had lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the way are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Well, you know, I'm a member of the church, and I go faithfully to church. I give my tithes. I don't speak evil of anybody. I'm a very good person. But do you have oil in your lamp? Do you have oil in your vessel? You see, the oil in the vessel and the oil in the lamp is to know Christ. It's Him. It's to spend time with Jesus sitting at His feet, knowing Him. "Oh, that I may know Him, Daddy." Do your children say, "My daddy, he knows the Lord"? Whenever we have a family problem, we don't know what to do, daddy says, "Let's pray." My daddy. God talks to my daddy. My daddy knows the Lord. Blessed be the son and daughter whose daddy knows the Lord, who spends time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, my mama, she knows the Lord. Whenever we get in trouble, or we don't know what to do, or we get scared, oh, mama, She talks to Jesus all the time. She knows the Lord. God talks to my mama. Daddy and mama's God is real. He's alive. Whenever we need answers, we don't know what to do. Ah, yes. My daddy and my mama, they walk with God. Sometimes we can even hear him praying out loud, making supplication, intercession to God. Oh yes, and we all pray together as a family. We go to God all the time. Blessed be that family. Oh Lord, give us Christian homes. You see, religion is not enough. I'm sort of shifting a little bit here. You know, our children need to see that our God is real. He's alive. We're delighted in Him. Morning by morning we're refreshed in His presence. And we're delighted in God, and at His right hand we receive pleasures forevermore. We're excited and delighted in Jesus Christ. He is enough. He's all I need. My wisdom, my righteousness, my redemption. All I need. You know, a lot of times the reason children will reject, now I'm not saying this across the board, but a lot of times the reason children will reject their parents is religion. It's because all it was a religion. Isn't that true? Many times. And I know parenting drives us to our knees. I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to be a father. But my Heavenly Father knows how to be a father because He's my Father. And we get on our faces before God and we humble ourselves and we cry out to God, Lord, I need answers. Lord, I need You to bless my life. Give me wisdom and revelation. I need an answer. I need You to answer this prayer. My children are watching. Oh God, the heathen are watching. Lord, Your name is at stake. Oh, that I may know Him. Well, I think that's pretty much the burden of my message this morning. That's pretty much where I had on my heart to share. Are you ready? Do you know Him? Does He know you? And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on His throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. There will be no one more blessed than he who is ready. She hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, glory, I want to be there. I want you to be there. I don't want any of us to miss it. But I fear, if pleasures, work, social activities, social medias, entertainment, is more important to you than sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting at His gate daily and hearing His voice? I fear, I tremble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. I fear lest we get this thing turned around and we seek first the other things, and then what time we have left we give to God. Oh, brother, sister, what does my 24-hour day, 7-day week declare about my fervor and my pursuit for God? You know, I could say a lot of things, but we read those scriptures this morning. I can't say it any better than Jesus. He said it so well. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. And I know this is a warning message, but it's also an encouragement. At the right hand of the Lord are pleasures forevermore. At the feet of Jesus is beauty beyond compare. Riches that money can't buy. Wealth in the bank that can never be taken away. Oh, Mary, Mary, you chose the good part which shall not be taken away. Brother, sister, choose the good part. And it shall never be taken away. And you shall have joys and pleasures at the right hand of the Lord with persecutions. Yeah, there'll be persecutions. Oh, but to be in Him when He cometh, when the trumpet soundeth. One thing is needful. Mary, you have chosen the good part. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I just leave you with this challenge to take a look at your life. Honestly, husbands, wives, youth, children, take a look at your lives honestly. Where's my affection? Where's my passion? Where's my drive? Where am I spending my money? Where am I spending my time? What do I get excited about? Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is worthy of all my affection, all my devotion, all my life. And if you need to repent today, this is all God requires. It's very simple. It's very simple. Those that with an honest and a good heart receive the word. Ah, there it is. It's that simple. Every one of us can be honest. Right? Every one of us. Youngest, oldest, doesn't matter who we are. We can all be honest with God about my state. And we can ask God to search my heart and show me. Because, Lord, I do not want to be deceived. I don't want to be one of those five virgins that thinks I was in and I was ready, but found out I was not. I want to be ready when the cry comes forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," to go out and meet Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.